Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today's topic is WebSphere Commerce Introduction to Troubleshooting System Outages. This session is scheduled to be an hour in length, but may extend to an hour and a half for the presentation and the question and answer period. If you've not joined the web conference, please do so now. The web conference address is available on the WebSphere Technical Exchange website. Today's webcast will include an online presentation. Once you are in the web conference, you will see the presentation. If you are unable to access the web conference at this time, please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange website and click on today's presentation title. The document it displays contains a PDF with the presentation that you can view. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I will ask you to respond to a few quick polling questions. The lines will then be open for a question and answer period. For those of you who joined us on the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to questions asked through the phone, and if time permits, we will address questions in the group chat. The presentation and Q&A session are being recorded, so you can replay this at a later time. If you object to the recording, you may drop now and listen to the replay later. In the next few days, a video of this presentation, including the question and answer session, will be available on IBM.com sites. When speaking, do not include any information that you do not want shared publicly, such as confidential information, your name, or your company name. Check the previous webcast tab of the WebSphere Technical Exchange site for a replay. Today's presenters are Jeff Johnson and Mark Barbara. Jeff Johnson is a software engineer in the IBM RCP lab. He's with the WebSphere Commerce support team and specializes in helping customers with out-of-memory, database, and performance. Mark Barbara is a senior software engineer at the IBM Toronto lab in Canada. He's the team lead of the WebSphere Commerce support team and a subject matter expert on performance and stability of WebSphere Commerce sites. At this time, I'd like to turn the session over to Jeff.
Thanks, Billy. Let's move on to page 2, please. All right, let's take a quick look at the agenda for today. First, we'll go over some initial questions that should be asked when there's an outage. Then we'll take a look at things that can change and what data to collect. Mark will go over the troubleshooting using Java cores and diagnosis of high CPU, hangs, crashes, and out-of-memory issues. And then we'll go over the queuing and cascading effect and working with IBM support. And last, we'll summarize at the end and look at some additional material that can be reviewed to pick up additional insight into troubleshooting. Let's move to page 3. All right, let's go to introduction, and this is page 4. Okay, as everyone is aware, we are rounding the corner to one of the most critical seasons of the year for online shopping. Everyone expects to get a lot of traffic to their site during this time. But as traffic and shopping ramp up on your website, you may worry about having site outages that can cause a loss of critical sales and customers. So we all hope this doesn't happen, but you must be prepared in case it does. This presentation will help you to be prepared and be proactive to minimize the downtime and the time spent to understand the root cause of the failure. So we have a lot of different charts in this presentation, but we may not be able to hit each one and go into a deep technical discussion. But hopefully it can be used as a reference for you as you prepare for the busy holiday season. We have several links to other presentations and guides that can be used to gain a deeper technical knowledge in troubleshooting outage scenarios. The goal today is to understand the data and information that will quickly get you on your way to resolving these types of issues. Let's move to page 5. And this is for initial questions. Let's move to page 6. Okay, these are the typical questions you must ask when troubleshooting a system outage. Since we've all been to the doctor for some reason or another, we can correlate this to a doctor visit for an injury. The doctor would need to ask you many questions to understand your situation and begin the diagnosis of the problem. The doctor would ask things like, what did you do to cause the injury, or how long has it been hurting? The answers to these questions will go along with the other tests that my doctor may do, or x-rays, that will help determine the problem. The same goes for debugging a system outage. There's a lot to be understood about the outage that cannot be seen in physical diagnostic data reported in the logs or dump files. The following slides will show you some questions that will accelerate the understanding of the overall issue. So when looking at the technical data, you can quickly jump to the most effective pieces of data that will help you move to a conclusion. Let's move to page 7. So you're having a problem with your site. So what's actually happening? Is it a slow? If it is slow, how slow is it? Is this for internal or external shoppers? Is the problem happening for all pages or just some pages? If we can identify at a higher level which part of the site is having the issue, then we can investigate more closely what is going wrong. Depending on which parts of the site is having the problem, we can then begin to narrow down the issue to a specific component. Let's move to page 8. All right, so when a problem occurs, and when it does, the normal question we ask is, you know, what happened here? So does it happen during peak traffic? Does the problem go away during the times when there's less traffic? Does it happen at a regular interval? I mean, could it be related to a scheduled job? And does it worsen over time? Keeping in mind the timing will help you to understand the area of the product or task that is related to the system outage. Let's move to page 9. There we go. Does this happen on all servers or only one server? If it only happens on one server, you would also want to understand what else is running on that server. If the issue bounces from server to server, for example, if one server goes down and then the second server goes down the same way, this usually means that there is a specific request or activity that is being executed. Knowing which server are affected can help narrow down or isolate the issue. Does the system recover? Does a restart fix the issue? How long after the restart until you see the issue again? The pattern of how long a system is up until next failure can be a clue as to what type of problem we have. Let's move to page 10. So we'll look at the type of things that can change in an environment here. Let's move to page 11. Okay, when an outage occurs, the first question that comes to mind is what changed. Most people automatically look at code deployments as things that can bring down a site. But you should keep in mind the changes to the system can happen every day. For example, did you have new data? Do you have a new catalog structure? Has there been a new promotion? Also, there are external interfaces that can change and impact the site, like marketing, external marketing, or a geolocation service. It's important to keep a change history to help you know what has changed on your system. Knowing what has changed helps you narrow your focus when there is an outage. The code on your system may not have changed, but if the dependencies have, then your code may behave differently. Let's move to page 12. Here's just a list of examples of things that could change that you should think about if you encounter an outage, like user traffic, seasonal or promotional, data changes where you actually load new data, different code changes, infrastructure, operational, and external interfaces. Let's move to page 13, please. All right, we'll take a look at the must-gather documents. Now we've talked about the questions and answers that you should collect to help you understand the problem symptoms, but we also need to collect the technical data to understand and diagnose the problem based on the description, background information, and the reported outage. The links here are the starting points for the must-gather guides that we have for Webster Application Server and Webster Commerce. The most useful categories for systems outages are performance, hang, high CPU, and out-of-memory and crashes. Let's move to page 15. It's important to become familiar with the data being collected before a problem occurs, so you'll be ready and know how to collect the required data at the time of an outage. If you happen to miss the data collection, support typically cannot resolve the issue. You'll have to wait for another occurrence to collect the required data. So it's critical to know what data to collect and be able to collect that data at the time of the outage so a root cause can be determined. Let's move over to page 16. And I'll hand this over to Mark to talk about Java cores and out-of-memories and whatnot.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's move on to slide 17. So I want to start by talking about Java cores. So the Java core is one of the main logs that is generated from the server that will give us a lot of information about what is going on inside when the server is experiencing problems, many types of problems, and thus you'll find that this data is used in many of our must-gather guides. I want to spend a bit of time to discuss the elements that you may find in this file, as it will help to diagnose what may have caused your site outage. The Java core itself is a simple text file, so you don't need any fancy tools to review this, only a text editor. It includes basic information about your system, such as the levels, the process ID, JVM parameters that it was run with, as well as Java-level information about what was running, such as the different Java locks, and most importantly, the activity in the Java threads. I kind of think of this as an X-ray of the system, a snapshot or a picture of a specific moment in time to show what's running and what it looks like inside. The Java core needs to be generated either on demand, or the system may take one during different events that happen within the system, such as an out of memory. Next slide, please. So on slide 18, we can see when a Java core is created, the location is going to be printed in your native standard error.log file. Just as an FYI, if you're using a Sun SDK, the data shows up in the native standard out log rather than an individual javacore.txt file, and we'll have a slightly different format from what we're showing today, which is going to be centered around the IBM SDK. As I mentioned in the previous slide, the Java core is a simple text file, but there are several tools that attempt to make reading the Java core, or many Java cores, easier, such as the IBM thread and monitor dump analyzer. If you are going to look at Java cores, I would also recommend getting this tool to help expedite the analysis of the Java core. To get a deep understanding of what is inside the Java core and all of its sections, I would strongly recommend the presentation linked at the bottom of the slide, as we won't have enough time today to cover everything about the Java core. Slide 19, please. One of the most important parts of the Java cores are the thread stacks. Again, I like to think of this as an X-ray of your system, so we can see inside what's going on. That's what the Java stacks will be telling us. So the Java core will show us all the threads that are running and the associated Java code that was running at the time the Java core was taken. To quickly find this area, you want to go to the 3XM thread info keyword, which will identify each thread in the Java core. Beneath this, you will find the Java call stack of the code that's executing. I'll go into a more detailed example in the next three slides of how to read a call stack, but if you're new to this, the Java code at the top of the call stack is the code that's currently running, and the lines beneath are the other classes and methods that were called to reach this point in the code. For example, at the bottom of this slide, we can see three lines in the call stack. In this example, the apply shipping command impl is currently executing the call apply calculation usage method, and it's specifically executing at line 260 in the actual Java code. The line beneath shows that the call apply calculation usage method is being called by the process items by trading ID method, and then in the line below, we can observe that this was called by the perform execute of the apply shipping command. I'll move on to the next three slides, which is going to show an example of how this might look like in the case of a site outage. On slide 20, we can see the top of our call stack. If we look at this, we can see the thread is doing a socket read, and by looking at the lines below, we can see who is calling this, which we can identify as the JDBC driver. This would indicate that this thread is connected to the database, and it's waiting for a response from the database. If we have many threads in this state, we can begin to believe that there's a bottleneck in the database, since the threads in the application server are all waiting for the response on the database. Slide 21, please. If we continue to look down the same call stack, we can see which code was trying to access the database, perhaps to find out if there's a specific function or database table that's causing a problem. In this case, we can see there's a demographics access bean that is being used to access the database. Here we can see a lot of other classes and methods that you may not recognize, since WebSphere Commerce uses the EJB framework to access the database. There's lots of code that runs to access the database that will be generated by the underlying EJB framework, so you may need to have a bit of a patient eye to skip over some of these calls relating to the framework and to identify the correct bean. If you look close, we can see in the middle of the stack that we are using the find by primary key method to look up the demographic access bean. And let's go to the next slide. And on slide 22, if we finally go down the stack a little bit more, we can see which code is using the demographics bean. Here we can see that this bean is being executed by the order status display JSP. One tip on reading the Java core when it comes to JSPs is that the JSPs are compiled into Java code. So you will always see the JSP as a Java class, which has an underscore before the name of the JSP file. The other thing you'll notice is that the method that's used to execute your JSP is the underscore JSP service method, as shown in the example above. So if we put together what we observed in the last three slides, we can use the call stack to quickly know that the order status display JSP is running slowly, trying to use the demographic access bean, which accesses the user demo database table, and it's slow running or returning the query from the database. Slide 23, please. So a few additional notes about our threads. When looking at the Java cores, the activity that's running from the web or URLs will always be worked on by the web container threads. You do not want to set this thread pool as growable, as the system will continue to create threads as needed by your application. You want to cap the number of threads that the application server has available for your web requests, in that if you do have a performance problem, by creating more and more threads, you're simply compounding your problem by utilizing more and more resources. Finally, your threads can be either active or idle. So while you may have configured 25 threads, you may find that when you take a Java core, not all 25 threads are executed, even at your peak load. The following example on the slide shows what an idle thread may look like in your Java core when it's not executing a commerce request. Next slide. So the final item I wanted to point out about threads is that scheduled jobs run on an individual thread pool, which is our scheduler thread pool. In this slide here, we have examples of the thread names that you may find in your Java core that would indicate that you have something running in your scheduler. Another tip is to look for the IBM Commerce Scheduler package in the Java code that's running to identify whether the thread that's having a problem is related to your scheduler. Slide 25, please. So next, what I want to do is talk about how to diagnose specific problems. So slide 26. The first one, and this is the one we're going to spend the most time around, is diagnosing high CPU. I think everyone knows what high CPU is, but essentially on your Unix-based system, you can use things like VMSAT or PS or TOP to see your CPU usage, and most customers would consider something in the 75, 80, 90% as, you know, high CPU. The must-gather guide for high CPU will take the output of these commands, and we can use the data in the must-gather guide to link the CPU back to the process that's causing the problem, and then link the CPU to the thread that's running within the process. Once we know the threads using the CPU, we can use the Java core to identify what those threads are executing and what is causing the high CPU. This allows us to know which code is running hot, and you might consider reworking the code or trying to figure out ways to avoid that hot code by maybe enabling caching, for example. Slide 27, please. So the first thing I want to go about with high CPU is how to use the Java core. So we talked about looking at the call stacks earlier. We can use the Java core to figure out which web container threads are executing and what they are executing. By looking at the web container threads, we can see if they are all executing the same code. For example, if they're all running an add to cart operation, we may determine that the high CPU is being caused by the add to cart, and we may want to look into how to make the add to cart operation less costly. If you find that threads are active but no specific operation plagues the system, then we may determine that there may simply be a capacity problem on your server, and it may not be able to handle the traffic overall. So you may consider sizing of your server and the load that's hitting the server as a potential root cause of this problem. Slide 28. Another technique is to get a set of Java cores, perhaps three Java cores spaced 15 to 30 seconds apart, and compare their activity. By comparing their activity, we can see how the code is progressing in the JVM. If we see the same thread running across all three Java cores, this can point to code that's either running slow or in a loop and may be causing your high CPU. Typically, you want to look at the core activities that are running, so the items at the top of the stack, such as in the earlier example from slide 19, which was executing the database, as well as the main activity that caused the thread to execute, such as the order status display in our earlier example. By looking at the core activities, we may determine that across a set of Java cores, we have the same activity running, and this activity itself may be progressing and may be using lots of CPU to accomplish its goal. Slide 29, please. In the must gather guide for high CPU, we run a data collection which will tell you which CPU how much CPU was used per thread of your process. Each operating system has a different tool to do this, so you need to make sure you're running the correct must gather for high CPU based on your operating system. Once you collect the must gather at the time of the high CPU, we can use this data to map the CPU on each thread back to the thread and the execution of the Java code in our Java code, or in our Java core. From here, we can see which thread is consuming all the CPU and then see what activity that thread was doing. If we see many threads all using a percentage of CPU, for example, 25 threads all using 4% of the CPU, we may want to begin thinking about the sizing and capacity of the server rather than trying to pinpoint a specific functionality that's causing your high CPU. In a case where all the threads are using a small amount of CPU, it's typically not the case that there is poor functionality or poor coding that's causing the CPU, but rather the load and the capacity of the server is insufficient for what needs to be run. Slide 30, please. I think the final scenario for high CPU is typically caused by an out of memory. So this is a very common case for high CPU when the system is getting close to out of memory. In this case, the garbage collection thread will be showing very high CPU. When the JVM gets below around 10% free memory, the garbage collector will typically become much more aggressive trying to maintain the very little free Java heap that is available. The garbage collection process is CPU intensive, so you will find that the CPU will rise and the system performance will drop. In this case, you will want to diagnose this problem as an out-of-memory problem rather than a high CPU issue, since the root cause of the high CPU is the lack of free memory. In this case, you also may not see an out-of-memory exception, as this only happens when the system is finally out of memory. In many cases, the CPU will be high for several minutes before the system even reaches an out-of-memory. Slide 31, please. Next, I'm going to talk about hangs. So the case for hangs is typically when your JVM is not responsive, but is also not experiencing high CPU. If your system's unresponsive but has high CPU, you're going to want to look at the high CPU scenarios. But if you do not have high CPU, but your system is not responding, this is what we typically will classify as a hang. Typically, hangs happen due to some condition that causes threads to get stuck or to stop processing. There is a must gather for hangs. You will want to use that to collect the necessary information to debug this. When you get a hang, what you're going to want to do is compare the Java cores that were collected in a similar way to how I described for the high CPU scenario. Let's move on to slide 32. So as I mentioned previously, hangs happen typically because of unresponsive systems and threads that get stuck, perhaps due to synchronous requests, for example. This can usually be seen by reviewing the Java cores. For example, if similar to how I talked about with high CPU, if we take three Java cores spaced 30 seconds apart, we may find, for example, one of the web containers, so let's say web container 15, shows that the order status display is waiting on the database. And we can see that this web container is waiting on the database across all three Java cores. This would tell us that this thread has not been active or has not been moving or has been hung for over a minute and a half because we've taken three Java cores 30 seconds apart, and each Java core is showing that the thread is performing the exact same activity as before. If this was the same example that we reviewed earlier, this would tell us that the database is causing the system to hang. And we would want to move our analysis to figure out what's going on in the database causing the application server to hang. You can also look at a single Java core to see what the common activity is on your system. So, for example, if we have many threads that are executing the same code, we may begin to believe that this common piece of code is causing the system to hang. So if you look in the example on the bottom of this slide here, we can see that we have three threads all waiting on the database, which may point to a bottleneck on the database. The final tip is that if you find that when you have a hang on your system and you take your Java cores, that all of the threads are idle, so there is no code executing, this is a good sign that the system is unresponsive due to a problem that's earlier in your infrastructure, such as your HTTP server or the routing in your plugin or even the network or other infrastructure pieces that are in the system before the application server. If you identify this scenario here, you're going to want to move your analysis out of the application server and into the earlier pieces of your infrastructure that accept the request. Slide 33. The next common scenario for a hang would be Java synchronization issues. So essentially, this happens when we have Java code that has a synchronization lock, which essentially may be a code block that needs exclusive access, so only one thread may run it at any one point in time, or you may have synchronization around a Java object, so only one thread may have access to that Java object at any one point in time. If this happens in the Java core, you will see your threads in a block state, and there's a section in the Java core that actually shows the blocked threads and which thread is blocking them. By finding the thread that is blocking the other threads, you can go and look at the Java call stack to see why that thread is blocking the other ones and what activity that thread is performing that will cause it to block. Slide 34. The next thing I want to talk about is crashes. So the reason why I'm using this different terminology is that a lot of the times when our clients will bring a problem to IBM, they'll say, my system crashed. But really, when they say the word crash, they may be talking about it not being responsive due to high CPU. They may be talking about it being unresponsive because it's hanging. But I want to specifically use the word crash for a scenario where the JVM process itself disappears or crashes. Okay? So in the case of a crash, so the JVM process is terminated. This will typically happen because of some low-level native Java problem. And my recommendation, quick recommendation here, is that if you reach a crash, it's typically a good idea to engage IBM support and not spend too much time trying to self-diagnose this type of problem. If you aren't sure you've reached a crash, the best way to determine this is by looking at the Java core that was created, or you may get a core file that's created on your system. Moving on to slide 35. In the case of a crash, when you get your Java core, what you want to do is look at the beginning of the Java core, and you will see why it was generated. So in the example here, we can see signal 11, which was causing it to crash. And then looking slightly down in the Java core, we can see what caused the crash. So in this case here, there was a failure in the libc library of the Java code. So again, this is when I mentioned that, that's clearly not something that's going to be part of your application code from a commerce application perspective, which is why I recommend that typically if you get these types of crashes, it's a good idea to engage IBM support to help you diagnose the root cause for a crash. Moving on to slide 36. The last main problem that I want to talk about diagnosing is the out of memory. Typically, this is the one that gets a lot of our clients and is one that we see a lot of problems around, especially when load increases and requirements increase on systems. So it's one you'll want to become familiar with. The out-of-memory problem occurs when the system cannot allocate the requested resources for memory, and you will get an out-of-memory error. There is a must-gather for the out-of-memory error, which you should become familiar with. Typically, when we get an out-of-memory, we're going to need to review data such as Java cores, heap dumps, and the verbose GC logging to diagnose the issue. The first step in understanding that you've reached an out-of-memory is that in the case of an out-of-memory, you will get a Java core created. When you open the Java core, similar to how we were talking about with crashes, the first few lines will tell you the reason why the Java core was created, and in this case, you will see a message that says an out-of-memory was received. Okay? We'll move on to slide 37. Once you've determined you're at an out-of-memory condition, there are many steps on debugging and diagnosing it. We don't have a lot of time today, and because this is a very involved problem, my strong recommendation is to look at the presentation that I have linked here. It's a WSTE that goes into every detail of solving out-of-memory problems, and it's specifically around WebSphere Commerce sites. So it does also go into the very common scenarios that we've seen in support that our clients have run into and ways to quickly understand, diagnose, and solve those types of problems. I'm going to move on to slide 38, which is talking about NPM stats. So this is not really diagnosing a problem, but this is an interesting tool that you can have which will help answer some of those questions that Jeff brought up earlier about the timing of your problem. So NPM stats is a package that's included in the IBM HTTP server. It takes different statistics about your server, what's going on in your server, and how it's behaving. This is actually enabled by default, so this information is already being logged on your system at a 10-minute interval. But what it can do is it can tell you, for example, how much activity what the threads are doing in the HTTP server and how many of them are writing to the application server. So if you look at the graph in the slide, on slide 38, we can quickly see, for example, that we have a surge in requests going to the application server. And this will tell us the timing of, when our problem started and how long it lasted for. The last piece on this slide is a link to our Smarter Commerce blog, which goes into more details on how you can use NPM stats to figure out the timing of your system and how to use this. It's a very lightweight tool, and it's a really good way to help monitor your system. So this blog entry also provides some sample scripts to show you how to parse the data and create a graph similar to the one in the slide here. Now I'm going to pass it back to Jeff on slide 39 to talk about our queuing and cascading effect.
Okay, let's go. Thanks, Mark. Let's go on over to page 40, please. All right, so Mark went over some of the common problems that we see with a slight outage, like crash, out of memory, hangs, and high CPU. The queuing and cascading effect is also an important thing to think about. A Western commerce environment is made up of many parts, each depending on each other. You'll find that a slowdown at one tier may be visible in all the other tiers. Understanding how each system can cascade onto each other, you'll be able to quickly identify the system that is the root cause of the problem. I've added a link at the bottom of the page that talks about, has a WSCE that talks more about this, the cascading and queuing effect. I will go over a couple of examples to illustrate the queuing and cascading effect. Let's move to page 41. All right, so here the first example is when we have some bad code deployed that creates an infinite loop. The problem will be most visible on the application server layer, since we'll be seeing high CPU and the thread pool will probably be completely utilized as the system slows down and can't handle new requests. As Mark mentioned, we can use the OS level data to pinpoint the threads that are causing the issue. Then we can use the Java course to look at the thread stacks and find the code that's being executed. Let's move to page 42. So if you look at the database layer, the number of connections could possibly have increased, but the overall usage is lower than normal or even idle. This would seem odd, but if you take a look at it from the cascading effect, it makes more sense. Since the application is struggling with high CPU due to the bad code, it would not be able to process any normal requests, which drives queries to the database. Therefore, the database is less busy. Now, if you look at the web server layer, the response times will increase, and we'll start seeing traffic being queued up at the web server layer waiting for the application response. Let's move to page 43. All right, the second example here is when we have a bad query. So new code was deployed that executes a query which indexes have not been created. The database will see higher CPU and maybe higher I/O times and maybe even become unresponsive. You'll see the number of connections rise on the database as more traffic arrives to the system. However, the existing traffic still has not been processed. Database analysis probably could show which query is bad and running long and consuming the database resources. Let's move over to page 44. Now, if we take a look at the application server layer, the CPU utilization will be low and will appear to be hung and not processing requests. Since the database is unresponsive, you'll see a number of threads waiting on the database response. Just like the example Mark provided earlier, if you were to take a Java query at this point, you would see multiple threads in a wait state. These would be in a socket read to the database where it is executing the bad query. The thread pool will probably be fully utilized again and not be able to accept new requests. And if we take a look at the web server layer, it would be very similar to the previous example. The traffic gets queued up waiting for the application to respond. The point of the scenarios is to show you that at each layer we can see a problem. So, for example, trying to fix an issue with requests backing up at the web server layer by modifying the web server configuration is not likely to fix the problem. You would need to understand the dependencies that the web server has on each layer in the environment. In fact, if we fix the bad query on the database layer, it will prevent the issue with the application server hanging, thus avoiding the backup request at the web server layer. Let's move to page 45. And we'll talk a little bit about working with support and on page 46. Okay, if you need help from IBM support, use this presentation to help expedite the process. Be aware of the must-gather data and collect it before opening the PMR. Here in support, we can't resolve most issues without having the data at the time the system outage occurs. Also, if your site is down, let support know that this is your production environment and clearly state the impact to your business so we can prioritize and appropriately allocate necessary resources to get your site back up and working. Remember the initial questions discussed earlier so you can give as many details as possible to the support team. If we only had the data to look at, we'll be looking at it blindly. We will need to know what the different symptoms are and how it affects your system so we can quickly get to the affected component and the relevant data to solve the issue. Move to page 47, and we'll go through a summary. On page 48, so when dealing with a production outage, quick diagnosis and recovery is essential. The key is to not get caught by surprise. Implement monitoring and failover and have recovery procedures ready to go. Be prepared to collect necessary data in case of an outage, and because you don't want to suffer multiple outages to collect data. So we want to understand the full architecture and how each piece of the puzzle depends on each other. Let's see, okay. All right, let's move to page 49, please. And the following three slides we have here, we're basically just using these as references, reference material. Move to page, you're on page 50. Okay, these are links to good WSTEs that were presented in the past and have relevant troubleshooting techniques for system outages. Let's move to page 51. And these are the links that we've already talked about, the different must-gather documents that we would collect for outages like out-of-memory, performance, hang, high CPU, and crash. And let's move to page 52. And this is something, this is also a page, links to high CPU must-gather that Mark had mentioned where you can actually collect the data based on your platform. So it has it for AIX, Linux, Solaris, Windows. And let's move to page 53. Okay, and these are actually tools that support users to actually look at the must-gather data for garbage collection, dump analyzer for Java. These are really good information and good ways to actually self-diagnose the problem. Okay, let's move to page 54. And I'll pass this back over to Billy.
Thank you. This chart includes links to valuable online resources. Visit the Support Technical Exchange site to learn about upcoming exchanges and view previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. Visit WebSphereUserGroup.org for user group information and more product information. IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up to speed and up the learning curve quickly. The SR service request tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notification link on all product support pages lets you sign up for email updates for products of interest to you. The emails include critical support information such as flash alerts, fixed downloads, and other topics that the support team feels is important to you as you use our products. Before we get to the question and answer session, there's a few short survey questions about the presentation. Questions will appear in your web conference. Your participation is greatly appreciated. There will be four questions. Question one, on a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The information presented today was valuable to me. 1, strongly agree. 2, agree. 3, neutral. 4, disagree. 5, strongly disagree. Question two, On a scale of 1 to 5, choose the number that best describes what you think about this statement. The material was well organized and clearly presented. 1, strongly agree. 2, agree. 3, neutral. 4, disagree. 5, strongly disagree. Question 3. Did this call meet your training expectations, yes or no? And the last question, 4, how did you hear about today's Support Technical Exchange webcast? 1, my notifications, 2, product support page, 3, client success essentials community page, 4, forum, 5, newsletter, 6, proactive email, 7, social media, 8, or other. Thank you for participating in our poll. And finally, connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with a subject WSTE subscribe. Also, if there's a topic you would like to see scheduled or if you have any comments that you would like to provide us to help improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Moving on to the Q&A session, I would like to remind you, for those of you that have joined us through the web conference, you can also post your questions in the group chat. Precedence will be given to the questions asked through the phone. As time permits, we will also address the questions in the group chat. Keep in mind today's session is being recorded and will be posted on the Support Technical Exchange website. When asking questions, do not include any confidential information, your name or company name that you do not want shared publicly. I'm moving to the question and answer session now. Press 10 to ask a question.
This conference is now in question and answer mode. To alert the speaker that you have a question, press 1, then 0.
Once again, press 10 to ask a question. Your line is now open to ask a question.
Yeah, can we get a copy of the web links that were for, like, the Java core dumps and whatnot in the presentation?
Hi, this is Joe. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, in your presentation, you listed some websites where we could get, like, the Java decoder.
Okay, you mean the actual tools, right?
Yes, and I couldn't type them fast enough to be able to keep up with that.
No, I understand. And actually, the presentation will be online shortly, and so you can actually should be able to pull the links from there.
Okay.
If not, then you can just this is Jeff Johnson, you can shoot me an email, and I can send you the links to the different tools that we use.
Yeah, actually, one thing you can do is in the e-meeting, there's a little chat window on the far right side where the meeting participants are, and it should be flashing on your screen. If you click there, there's actually a link in there. I think Billy just posted it. And you should be able to click there to get the PDF of the presentation, and from there you should be able to see the links in there.
Thank you for your question. And if you have any problems accessing that, you can always send an email to the email address WSEHelp, and we can respond to you. Next caller, your line is now open for a question. That question may have disappeared. If you do have a question, please press 10. Last opportunity, press 10 if you have a question. It appears we have no further questions, so moving on to the next slide. This is a new community intended as a one site with all support links you need. It brings together users of IBM software to share, collaborate, and connect with each other virtually and socially. In this community, you'll find training videos, upcoming events, blogs, important web links, and more. Please join the Industry Solutions Client Success Essentials Community blog, or Client Success Essentials Community. It provides a single site where you can easily find support information regardless of where it is located, highlighting specific programs of interest to you. At this time, we will conclude the webcast. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. Thank you, Jeff and Mark, for presenting. We appreciate everyone's participation, and we will hope you will join us in future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange website. Remember, within a few days, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site. Thank you. This concludes today's webcast. Have a wonderful day.